And I want to start by saying when I was a kid, probably elementary aged, I went through a season of being fascinated with exploration and adventure. That was the way that I liked to play. And I think probably every kid goes through that season where they're just fascinated by everything that they see. But I was real into it. And I loved to play outside and just explore and see what there was to discover. And the way that this kind of would manifest itself would be in some of the gifts that I got, which were one year, one of my sisters got me a Christmas gift that was a metal detector. Now, this wasn't one of those kind of, you know, real top-of-the-line metal detectors that you might see on, like, an archaeology dig or anything, but the concept was the same, right? It's a long stick that it's got a handle, and it beeps when there's something metal under the ground, so you know I can stop right here and dig it up and see if I've got anything interesting under there. But I mostly walked around the front and backyards of my childhood home. And I just, if anybody else is out there and is wondering if they can find any treasure out in Stone Creek, like long lost hidden treasure, you're probably not going to find anything that interesting. I think that the most interesting thing is I discovered where our property line is, but not much else to discover out there. But one of the other things that I had that I used pretty frequently in this season of my life were this set of binoculars. And this set of binoculars belonged to my dad. And they weren't these cheap plastic binoculars that you might go and get out at Wild Adventures out of the, you know, souvenir store. These were premium binoculars, real heavy metal, real premium glass. And I loved to play with these things. But my dad always reminded me that they belonged to him and not to me. He didn't mind me playing with them, but they were his. And I had to understand that because every time I was done playing with him, it was my responsibility to give back what rightfully belonged to him and hopefully in as good a shape as they were when he let me borrow them. But like most kids, I had this problem where, you know, things like that kind of go in one ear and out the other. And I understood for the most part, and just about every single time I would remember to give them back to my dad, except for the one time when I didn't. And that one time when I didn't, it's not that I just kept them to myself and they were in my room and they got lost or whatever. I accidentally left them outside. And it's like, okay, no big deal. Just come right back outside and get them, right? I mean, they were in my front yard, but unfortunately it rained that night that I happened to leave them outside that day. And unfortunately, my dad walked out and discovered his premium binoculars ruined by all the rain that they had endured. Now, to all you parents out there, I hope I'm not opening up any sore wounds or maybe anything that's currently festering that's like, oh, my kid did something like that recently. Because I'm also, you know, I'm a new parent myself, and I'm thinking, hey, I'll be in the same boat pretty soon, I'm sure. She's starting to get into things, and I'm looking around the house like, I got to make sure my guitars are out of reach and my vinyl record collection is locked up so that I don't have to endure the same pain my dad did. But I'm sure that I will. And I'm preparing for myself for that now. But the reason I bring this up is because this story reminds me of the idea of stewardship and how we ought to be more mindful of how we care for the things that have been entrusted to us. Things that don't belong to us, that belong to someone else, but that we have been entrusted to care for. For many of us, when we think of stewardship, we think only of finances. But stewardship is more than just being smart with our money. Looking for a definition of stewardship outside of the church, we'll find things that will at least get us going in the right direction. A quick Google search will give you the definition of stewardship being the job of supervising or taking care of something such as an organization or property. And you know, that's getting us on the right track. But thinking of it more in a spiritual sense and relating to our passage today and what this means for our lives as Christians, we can go a little bit deeper, elaborate a little bit further on that. And so here's my definition, which I've modified just based on what I've seen as it relates to our spiritual life. I think we can more accurately think of stewardship as the way time, gifts being material or immaterial, or wealth are used or given for the service and glory of God. Or we can simply put it as this: stewardship is caring for what has been entrusted to you. And you'll see that references Genesis 1:26, which we'll elaborate on even further. And this is also your first sermon note, if you're keeping up with that. I won't give you the rest of them, but this is the first one. So that'll kind of tip you off for when to be looking for the next few. Stewardship is caring for what has been entrusted to you. So to better understand stewardship in this way and get a sense for how we ought to reclaim this practice in our lives as we're going through this Reclaim series, we are first going to zoom out and walk through the passage that we've read, that Anthony read for us earlier, and we're going to learn what stewardship means on a larger scale for all of humanity, things that they just apply to every single one of us, no matter who you are, what gifts you have, what time you have, what wealth you've been given. It just applies to all of us as humanity. And then we will zoom in on our lives, zoom in a little further, look at your lives individually, and talk about the specific time, talents, material possessions, wealth, and so on that we have been given, and ask ourselves if we are stewarding these things well, or if we are letting some of them squander and be wasted on us. Because we all have the tendency to do this, and I'm in the same boat here, and I think that we can look back to this story and see this is what we've been doing for forever. And so we need to kind of take a look, do an inventory of our lives, and examine what are the gifts I've been given? Am I using these things well? Just as Shelby said in the children's moment, to serve and honor God. And so let us do that by turning our attention back towards the passage, which picks up at Genesis 1:26. And so before we read it and start to unpack it, we need a little bit of context. This is the sixth day of the creation story, and that may be pretty familiar to many of us. Like, the creation story is the very first thing that happens in the Bible. It's probably one of the first things we learned growing up in children's church or youth or whatever, but we need to go back and unpack it to understand the significance behind why God created us as humanity, as humankind, and the role we were designed to play in his creation. He gave us a very distinct purpose when he created everything else, and then he created us. We had a role to play with the rest of it. So in the midst of the first 5 days, God brings chaos into order. We just sang that, right? With "This is amazing grace." Who brings our chaos back into order? Well, that's God Almighty. And we see that right here. He brings chaos into order by speaking into existence light, creating night and day. He creates the sky, the dry land, vegetation, the greater light, which is the sun, to light the day, and the lesser light, which is the moon, to light the night. And every living creature in the sea and in the sky and on the land. And while he's creating all of these things, he looks upon them all and he calls it all good. He calls it good. And this isn't like when someone asks you how you're doing and you say, "I'm good." And it's just kind of this neutral thing. You don't really mean anything by it. You might be doing good, you might not be doing good, but all you're going to say is, "I'm good." And it's just kind of this neutral thing. When God calls something good, it is never neutral. When God calls something good, he means it. It is the essence of what goodness is. The definition of goodness comes from God. And so when he looks upon these things and calls them good, they are truly good. So, and this isn't, you know, this is something that the New Interpreter Study Bible has in their commentary as, this is the clearest and strongest affirmation in the Bible of the sacred character and value of the natural world. The sacred character and value of the natural world. When God calls these things good. So you see, God's creation is sacred and valuable to the Lord. That is why we need to understand, this isn't just, oh, God made everything, right, and we'll brush past that, and then God put people here. God made something that was sacred and valuable to him. And so, who does he appoint to help care for the sacred and valuable creation that he has made? Well, that leads us right into our passage for today, where it says, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So, we ask that question once more. Who was appointed to care for the sacred and valuable work of God? We were. Not just Adam and Eve, maybe you're thinking, oh yeah, Adam and Eve were. No, we all were, right? Well, how do we know this? When Scripture says mankind, or maybe humankind, or whatever word your translation may use, it's not just referring to the first fruits of humankind, which are Adam and Eve. It refers to us as well. And how can we be sure of this? Well, the purpose of all the other things that were made never changed, right? So why would our purpose change? And so simply putting it that way, we can understand now that on a large scale, our role in God's creation as human beings is to steward well over the rest of creation. I'll say that again. Our role in God's creation as human beings is to steward well over the rest of creation. You see, God still maintains ownership because he is the creator and we are not, but he entrusts to us what belongs to him. Father Mike Schmitz is an American Roman Catholic priest, well known for his podcast and his YouTube channel, Ascension Presents. And while normally there might be some things that we differ from with the way that Catholics interpret things, I thought that Father Mike was on point, spot on, when he had a short clip talking about this idea of stewardship, and not just stewardship, but stewardship versus ownership. First of all, we need to understand stewardship is not ownership. They are not the same things. Stewardship is not ownership. When you have been called to steward over something, that does not make you the owner. Just like when my dad entrusted those binoculars to me, I was still not the owner. The owner was my dad. But it had been entrusted to me. So let's talk about a little further what the differences between these things are. When we look at everything in our lives as the owner of these things, then we have the right to do whatever we want to do with them, right? We say, everything in my life is mine. It's my body, my time, my gifts, everything, this is all mine. And in this kind of mindset, it doesn't really matter if it's wasted all away because it's yours and you have the right to do with it whatever you want to. And you can decide to share your gifts and your time with others, or you can decide to keep it all to yourself. Maybe you decide to devote some of that to the Lord, or maybe you say, no, this is my time. And so when we have this ownership mindset, we look at everything and we say, it's mine, I can do what I want with it. But the other way we look at everything is as a steward, where everything in my life is a gift that has been entrusted to me, and it does not belong to me. Ownership encourages entitlement and sometimes wastefulness or carelessness, whereas stewardship encourages thankfulness and a different level of responsibility. Obviously, those of us who have a sense of ownership over something in our lives, which is probably just about everybody here, we do feel a level of responsibility with those things. But when it has been entrusted to us to steward over, and we know this belongs to someone else, then it encourages a different level of responsibility. If we venture into Genesis 3, we see what happens when humanity forgets that their role in creation was not as owners, but as stewards. After Eve has been deceived by the serpent, Genesis 3:6 says, "When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it." Equal responsibility here. And essentially what's happening is Adam and Eve are saying, "I know that God said not to eat this fruit, but would you just look at that thing? It looks delicious. And I think that it'll actually make me wise as a person. And it'll open up my mind in ways I didn't even think possible." And so they're like, "I know that God created all of this and he gave it to us. And so we should listen to what he has to say. But that fruit looks really good and I want it. So I'm going to take ownership of this situation and say, I'm going to take it for myself." And we all know what happens next, right? Because they did not steward well over the gift that had been given to them, entrusted to them, they suffered great consequences that would affect all of humanity, not just them. Consequences that had an impact that lasted to this very day, this very moment right now. And what exactly were those consequences? Well, the point of being a steward of God's creation was that we could enjoy his creation with God. Because in the garden, they had full access to him. And we can take this off for a moment. But we can enjoy creation with God, full access to his presence, and enjoy his creation with no suffering whatsoever. Now, we don't quite have access to God in the same way, and we also are not able to enjoy creation without pain and suffering in the way that we were originally intended to. You might be able to go out to Reed Bingham State Park and take a nice little hike through their trails and be like, "I'm enjoying creation just fine." But that still doesn't erase the pain and suffering that we all collectively endure as humanity. And now we've been given the Holy Spirit through Jesus and his resurrection, but we still don't have full access to God in the same way that we will when heaven meets earth in the new creation in the new Eden. And so we lost these blessings. We were cut off. But there's good news for us, us being all of us here, not just Adam and Eve. And it is that God did not give up on us there. He was not done with us. He could have been, but he was not. His intention was to restore us back to himself, that we may be brought back into his presence, and that one day we would no longer suffer from the brokenness of this world. And we're kind of in this in-between of that now. But the fact that we're in the in-between means that there is a promise to be fulfilled that will one day we will all get to experience. But how did God go about doing this, putting this plan into action? Well, for generations, he prepared us for the coming of a Savior who would be his one and only son, Jesus of Nazareth. And this man, Jesus, would live a perfect life and then take up death on a cross on our behalf so that God's blessing could be restored back into the lives of those who love him. That's the gospel right there. So please hear that gospel message in the midst of this talk about stewardship. Because at the fall, humanity, we became slaves to sin and death. But just as God breathed life into us at the beginning, Jesus came to restore us back to life, to give us life so that we may have it abundantly. John 10:10. And so now that we've been given this new life, what are we to do with it? Well, the same is true as it was back in the beginning. We are to be good stewards of this new life that Jesus has given us. Why? Because this life is not our own. It is a gift freely given to us by Jesus Christ. Jesus himself encourages us to be good stewards of this life that he has given us. And we can see this through the parable of the talents or the parable of the bags of gold, however it may be in your translation. This comes to us from Matthew 25:14-30. And we're not going to read the whole parable right now, but I will give you the details, the most important, the cliff notes, if you will. And so what happens in this story is a man is about to go on a journey, and he leaves his wealth with his servants. He's got all this wealth, but he's going off somewhere else, so he leaves it with his servants. In the NIV, it says, he entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gives 5 bags of gold. To one, he gives 2 bags. And to the final servant, he gives 1 bag. The first 2 take what has been entrusted to them, and they steward over it very well. They double what had been originally given to them. The 3rd servant, however, does not use it well. He's fearful over what may happen, and he goes and hides it somewhere. And here's the thing. The master comes back, and he says, what have each of you done with what I've entrusted to you? And this goes back to that whole stewardship versus ownership idea, right? Because maybe the servants could have thought, this is just ours now, right? That's kind of what the 3rd servant must have thought. But it never truly belonged to them. They were never the owners. They were the stewards. The master was still the owner over the wealth. And the first 2 servants, they honored their master by being good stewards of what they had been given. And when the master sees this, he looks upon them and says, well done, good and faithful servants. And he invites them to share in his happiness with him. And the 3rd servant comes. He does not receive the same blessing. Just as Adam and Eve suffered great consequences for their lack of stewardship, so does the 3rd servant. He's not invited to share in the master's happiness. He is not honored among his fellow servants. And he's thrown out into the darkness. And so what this parable tells us first is that stewardship is service to God. Stewardship is service to God. Service to the Lord. When he looks upon them and sees what they have done, he says, well done, good and faithful servants. How are you being a good and faithful servant with the gifts God has entrusted to you? That's a question we all need to ask ourselves this morning. How am I being a good and faithful servant with the gifts God has entrusted to me? Because when we honor the gifts God has given us, we also honor God. When we don't honor the gifts, likewise, we don't honor God. The next thing is that it is extremely important that we steward well over the new life that is given to us through Jesus. This is extremely important. Because, as we can see, the consequences for not doing so are great. So the question becomes, How do we ensure that we are being good stewards of the gifts we have been given? Some of us may think, I think that I'm doing that, but I want to be sure. If the consequences are so great, I want to know how to be a good steward, and I'm not sure where to begin, and I just want to make sure that I'm not wasting away the gifts that God has given me. Because remember, that's something that we've had the tendency to do from the very beginning. So it's not just you. Don't think, oh, I'm just not good at being a steward. It's just collectively, we all have those tendencies. And so we need to say, well, how can I correct that? How can Jesus help correct that in my life? Well, the first thing we need to realize is that we don't often acknowledge the gifts in our life as gifts. Many things we take for granted because they're just normal. We don't have to think about them. We don't have to ask for them. They've just been given to us, but we didn't even really have to do anything to receive them. And so we don't even think of them as gifts because they're just things that they're just part of normal life. And I think with that kind of mindset, we think we kind of deserve these things. But let's zoom in a little closer and realize just how many gifts we've been given in life and really ask ourselves if there's anything we did to earn or deserve them. First, let's acknowledge the fact that he has given each of us a new day today. If you are sitting here, if you are watching online, you've been given a new day today. Did we do anything to earn it, to be sitting here today? Did we deserve this? I don't think we could do anything to earn or deserve it. So with that being said, today is a gift. Praise God for it. Praise God that he has given us a new day today. Okay, now what about the breath in our lungs? Did we earn it? No, it was just given to you. God just put the breath there in your lungs because he chose to. And that is a gift from God. So praise God for that too. How about the fact that your heart is currently beating right now as we speak, and you don't have to do anything about it? You don't have to crank it to get it going. You don't have to press an on button or charge it at night like you do your phone. It's just beating. That's a gift from God. Praise God for our beating hearts. But if we zoom in even further, we see that it goes even deeper than that, because we can all sit here and say, yes, we've all been given those three things we just listed. But there are specific, unique gifts that have been entrusted to each and every single one of you. My gifts may look different from your gifts. And so let's take a look at what some of those might be. We obviously can't go around the room and get everybody to share, but we can at least get an idea and get the wheels kind of turning. What talents do you have? One thing that my eyes have really been open to being a part of a church staff is that no gift, no talent is wasted in the kingdom of God. You might think ministry is all about preaching or pastoral care or music or missions or any of those things. But then you realize, hey, we need people who are gifted in finance. We need people who are well-versed in construction. And we need people who are very familiar with legal matters, with the law, and so on and so forth. And I remember when that thought finally occurred to me at a church council meeting one time, and everybody was sharing from their different areas, and I was thinking, wow, how cool is it that no matter what your gift is, that they can all be used in service of the kingdom to the glory of God. That is just amazing. I bet none of you who went into finance thought you would ever be serving the kingdom with that, right? But yet you are. And the same is true if you are musical or if you're an athlete. These gifts can simply be platforms where you spread the good news of the gospel. A great example is Texans quarterback, C.J. Stroud. And I know many of you are like, what did he just say? I thought Matt didn't really care about sports. And you're right, I don't. But this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity where you hear a sports reference in one of my sermons. And the only reason I know about this guy, C.J. Stroud, is because one of the college guys I disciple is really into sports. And he was telling me about this guy, and he was saying, you know, I hate the Texans, but I really respect their quarterback. I'm like, why? What's the deal with the quarterback? He said, well, every time he goes in for an interview, they start asking him about football, and they start asking him about, you know, his talents on the field. But he doesn't say anything about that before he first says, first of all, I just want to say all glory and praise to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, for having this opportunity to be out here and show my God-given talent. Interviewers didn't ask about that. They don't want to hear about that, right? But he's like, I know you asked about something else, but first, let me give glory to Jesus Christ because he gave me this gift, and I want to honor him with it. Then he goes on and he answers their football questions. So being a good steward can simply be that, recognizing your gifts that are given to you by God and taking every opportunity to proclaim that to anyone who will hear you. But so far, these have all been pretty immaterial things, right? Like the breath in our lungs, that's not something we can grasp fully, right? Maybe our talents with sports and things like that, maybe those can be considered a little more material, but we want to be even more intentional about understanding the material gifts we have been given and how those are gifts from God freely given to us and how we can steward well over these. And these can be things such as a home, a vehicle, a pantry and fridge full of food, or a closet full of clothes to wear. And how do we steward well over these things? Well, shifting from that ownership mindset to the stewardship mindset, it's likely doing what you're probably already doing, but simply being mindful of where the gifts came from, having that perspective shift. In other words, it's faithfully showing up to the job that God has given you, doing good work while you're there to earn the wealth that he provides through that job, using that to pay your bills and mortgage or rent for the home he has given you to live in safety, and to put gas in the car that he has given you to get from place to place, and to put food on the table that God has set before you. Ownership says, I did all this. It's mine. Stewardship says, God did all this. Praise be to God, and he has entrusted to me what is his. Ownership directs praise towards yourself, but stewardship gives all the praise to God. Just like C.J. Stroud does not accept praise on his own behalf for his talents or his gifts, being a skilled football player, we ought to direct all the praise to God for every single blessing in our lives. But here's the last thing, and possibly the most important, at least the most relevant to me. So maybe it's not the most important to you, but I do think we all need to hear this. Do you see the people God has placed in your life as gifts? And the relationships with them as things to steward over? Most specifically, the closest relationships in your life. And these may be different for each person. When I say that, you know, that phrase, closest relationships, each of you might think of a different person or a different few people. But for me, the first relationships that come to my mind are my wife and daughter. I'm incredibly blessed to be married to an amazing woman of God who loves me and supports me and challenges me. And on top of all that, makes some of the best food I've ever tasted in my life. You should try her homemade bread. It's incredible. And I can assure you, I did not earn or deserve a gift as precious as this. I did nothing to earn or deserve it. In fact, probably the opposite, right? But God saw fit to put this gift in my life anyway. And I can also assure you, I did not do anything to earn or deserve a beautiful, healthy, and happy baby. Neither of us did. We didn't prove that we were good enough, and God said, okay, here's your child. Because yes, she is our child, but we are not her owners. We are her stewards. She agrees. She, just like each and every one of us, belongs to God. She belongs to God, not to me, not to Shelby. She belongs to God. And I'm honored that he saw fit to entrust what belongs to him, to us. So I pray to God and I ask him, help me be a good steward of this gift that you have given us, to be a good father, to be a good husband. And I know I'm new at this, but so far, here are a few of the things I've learned. This is not all encompassing, but just a few things I wanted to share with you. First is that it's never too early to start discipling your children. It's never too early to start discipling her. I pray with her. I talk to her about her Heavenly Father, about our Savior Jesus, and about the Holy Spirit that has been freely given to us to have access to God. I know that she has no idea what I'm saying, but my hope and my prayer is that as she grows up, she never remembers a moment where she did not know the Lord. Because one day she'll have to make her own decision about the kind of relationship she wants to have with him. And that is not the moment to start teaching her about him. The moment is now. And as I raise her up to know Jesus and walk like Jesus, God uses her to do the same work within me, to make me more like him, to help me draw closer to him. Being a father has taught me more about patience, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, pretty much the entire tree of the fruit of the Spirit, and more than anything else probably ever has in my life. And best of all, God has blessed me with an amazing person to do this with, and has brought us closer together than we ever thought possible. Not because everything is easy and smooth all the time, but because we face the challenges together and lift each other up and encourage one another as her stewards. Friends, this is all because we are mindful of the gifts that God has given us. As best as we know how, we seek to be stewards of these gifts. And we do this imperfectly. Just like the way that you steward over your gifts is imperfect. But by God's grace, he allows us to keep trying. Because perseverance makes us more like him. And so as we close, I invite you to see how richly blessed you are by simply doing a bit of self-examination in your lives and realizing just how many gifts God has entrusted to you. Understand that Jesus has given you the gift of life and desires for you to have it in abundance. And know that the way we achieve this is by being good stewards of the precious gifts of life that he has freely offered us and all the individual blessings that come along with that. And so would you pray with me? God, we thank you so much for the gifts that you have given us that we do not deserve, that we did not earn, but that you freely gave us because that is who you are. You are a good father who gives good gifts to your children. And so, Lord, we pray that you would give us the strength, the courage, and the wisdom to use these gifts well, to steward well over them, that they might not be wasted on us, but that they would be used all for the glory of you, God, in service to you, and in such a way that'll help us to draw closer to you and be more like you, Jesus. So seal these words in our hearts, what you have spoken to us, and let everything that is not from you fall off to the side. We love you, and we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.